Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Episode 2 of the new series, gentlemen. You all right?
Very good, Chris. Good. Are you? Yeah. Tony Pulis?
Yes, we're a good one, weren't
we? Brilliant.
Great way to start the series, I think. Yeah, we hope you're all well.
Need to find that. I tried to find it earlier, the he's laughing meme from his interview. And watch the podcast, and he just does it.
He's laughing by the laugh. In it.
It's a proper laugh.
He messaged me to say that his wife's listened to it and she enjoyed it. So
that's all that matters.
She's waiting for a payment though from the swear jar.
I actually think he was being serious, wasn't he?
I think we get a thumbs up from Mrs. Pulis. We've won, haven't we?
I've seen Jonathan Woodgate and Matt Jarvis getting involved in the stories, ironing out some of the creases.
I've seen three different times. Seven. That he got brought off. 7, 18, 27.
So, but
either or.
I think even at 27, it's a brave decision to fetch a England international, former Newcastle, Real Madrid, Leeds. If you're having a shocker, he's having a shocker, isn't it?
Well,
what's the point in waiting till half time? Could have been 10 men.
Like he said himself, good decision there, Gaffer. Good decision. He knew what was coming.
I tell you what, on managers, by the way, I tell you what is interesting. What about this fella in Germany?
Go on, tell me about this fella in Germany.
Is it France?
So basically what's happened is John's overheard us three talking about what we could talk about and tried to hijack it and got the country wrong.
Is it France?
France, yeah.
What about this... Start again. What about this...
No, we're not starting again. What about this fucker... We're not starting again.
What about this fucker in France?
From Preston.
Yeah.
Well, born in Belgium, in Preston.
That's it, now I'm done. I'm done with it. What's he doing?
He's not got his UEFA licence, but he's managing... who's your manager?
Lille, at a guess.
Ren.
What a sack of shit we are, man. We at least don't even know what club he's managing.
But that's not the important bit, is it?
So he hasn't got his official
pro license or something.
They're paying £20,000 a week for every game that he manages, but they're absolutely flying.
They're the top of the league.
Managing, well, they're like 10th.
What? No, there's only 12 teams in the league, isn't
there? But he's only taken over from Christmas, and I think they've played 9 games, and I think they've lost one game in them 9.
They're still in a relegation dogfight, and they're going to be peppered. There's not that many teams in that French league, you know.
The mid-table. There's 20 teams.
So I don't think there is. In fact, I know there is.
But over here, I'm not sure what the rules are over there, but anybody can be a manager over here. Regardless of what qualifications you've got, as long as somebody on your backroom staff has got that rascal bit of paper.
So why are they not shipping somebody in?
What I mean. I don't know what the rules are over there.
Right.
Oh, so I could technically manage a Premier League club as long as I know somebody in my staff's got the UEFA pro licence.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have them.
I might apply at Leeds. See if we can get in.
It's a load of shit anyway, isn't it, then?
That's the point I was going to make. So he's picked him up from second bottom, he's took him to third bottom at 20 grand a game.
You've got to have a certain standard, don't you?
Yeah, but I don't know.
But the fact that he's doing so well just proves that do you really need all these badges?
Man management, John.
Football manager has put it down to.
Has he?
Mm.
Well, he's not a plumber at all, is he? He's been in football, hasn't he?
No, Lancaster University. And then he ended up doing the youth team in Preston, and then he's gone to France, and then ended up being doing the youth team in France, and then they've given him top job.
Have they given him a permanently now, or was it caretaker job?
You're asking me too many questions for how much knowledge I have about this situation.
You fucking fetched him off.
You did.
No, he came with the wrong country. Before we started this, he fetched him up, and I thought, I'll bring it up. But all the best to Rennes. In your relegation dogfight, costing you fucking 20 odd grand a year.
At what point does it become expensive though?
Fucking 90 grand a month.
Yeah. But if they're winning
every week.
I know, but the worst thing about it is, mate, they're having a good cup run. He's going to find every cup game and all. They're in Johnston Paint, they're in Coca-Cola Cup, and they're in FA Cup, the equivalent of.
Well, it's where might. Coming from Preston look. And doing the job in France.
Well, just because you're from Preston, does that mean you're not
Well, no, he doesn't manage. Know the...
Just he's never managed before.
Yeah, in general. I mean, going into a club and not managing before is bad enough, but into a foreign country as well.
Has he picked up the lingo?
Well, I think he's from Belgium. No, we're going far too. anyway, but I'm pretty sure he was born in Belgium, grew up in Preston. So we'll know the lingo being born in Belgium.
I'll tell you what I might start doing. I might become a Ren supporter and watching him on my VPN. Seamless that, weren't it?
It was.
Absolutely fucking beautiful. In fact, I'm
probably
already...
don't manage Ren. seamless otherwise.
So we've got the different country. We've got Ren, which is no, and we add Lille, which is also no.
Yeah.
Rem, that's what I said.
Rem. No, you said Ren.
Rem.
But if I was going to watch him, I'd use my NordVPN. The best in the business. Fastest in the land, no buffering. And if you're using your subscription services, we'll not mention names, but certain subscription services, you can get them cheaper.
What's the security
your
like?
Your bench, your location. Security is unbelievable. You can lock up your passwords, your bank details, and everything. You know it's all secure. And as always, we've got an unbelievable offer.
This is where you'll come into us on this now.
Exclusive NordVPN deal. Go into nordvpn.com/kosh and get this. You get 30-day money-back guarantee. All you're going to do is go to nordvpn.com/kosh. You get a massive discount, humongous discount.
That big?
No, bigger than that.
What are you looking at him for? That big?
That big.
Because I've got a decent wingspan.
And a 30-day money-back guarantee. So all you're going to do, follow the link in the description or go to www.nordvpn.com/kosh.
Honestly, there's people in Venezuela now and all they're talking about...
Trying to watch Ren. And they're like, where's this lad? Looking for him outside, not there.
All they're talking about in Venezuela is fucking Happy Valley. Honestly, it's talking town in Venezuela. Because they've been using the NordVPN.
Get yourself involved. Who have we got this week?
Davey Edgar. Can I call him Davey or not?
Yeah.
Too familiar?
No, I think he's a friend of the show. Listens.
But yeah, he was a bit of a boy, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he'd, of all the clubs he could have signed for, Newcastle were right up his street, weren't it, with the, not the football bit, but the nightlife, and he's invited us to Canada.
Funny, there's a World Cup taking place in the next couple of years.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah. Sorry, love, I'm really sorry, but we're at the Euros next summer, and then we're off America and Canada for 4 weeks. You just sort the kids out, no bother, can't you? Imagine how fucking big it'd come back from America.
Portion sizes.
I think that'd come back. It'd come in from America. With muffin top.
In a puffer jacket scene. Can you imagine how that...
Imagine the size of the muffin on that. Honestly. You'd have to buy some fucking clothes over there and all. For when you're coming back. Shall we get him in then? All the way from Canada.
Fez messaged you with a few bits.
We did. I didn't even word him up. He just came straight into the DMs. Ask Edgar when someone allegedly pinched the lass's phone out of her bag when he was with the youth team and their mate Matty Jones.
Fucking Matty Jones was in the back of the van, yeah.
So it was a proper job.
Back of the van? We're not kidnapped to
No, well, no. So it was just stupid. Remember Blue Bamboo? Yeah, so we... Remember it was Wally. Wally ended up... I was with some bird and then there was a phone. I took it, gave it to someone like an idiot. I didn't want it. It was just something I did, just an idiotic mistake.
This is Mark Walton.
Mark Walton. And Matty Jones was his mate. And he ended up there. And my mate from school, because I ended up going to school, Mark Brown was there. And
how old are you here?
Like, so I was 16 in Blue Bamboo. Right. Yeah. Thumbprint and everything, wasn't it? But yeah, so I gave it to, just handed it off to Mark Brown, who had nothing to do with it. Next thing you know, a bouncer grabbed us. I didn't know what was going on. And he just went, yeah, who's got the SIM card? And I was like, what are you talking about? Because I didn't have it in my possession at the time. Just an idiotic thing to do. And next thing you know, we're being handcuffed and walked down the bottom of the big market into the back of a van. And Matty Jones was in there shitting himself. So
the SIM
just
card.
Honest. I was just honest when I got there and said, listen, yeah, I did. It was a mistake. I'm sorry. And they let me off.
So have you took the phone and then somebody's thought, I'm having a SIM card?
Must have done. So when I handed it, they must have got rid of the SIM card, but it was one of those Nokias back in the day, so you slide it off and then out.
So 16, silly.
16, yeah, could have been finished then.
Did it go back to Diggs or anything?
So Diggs never, well, I don't think that Diggs found out because I called my uncle at the time. My uncle, my mom's brother lived in like Houghton Spring and I told him to come instead of calling my Diggs. If I called the Diggs, it was finished. I would have been finished. Well, Diggs were pretty straight as a die, so they would have said, they would have told the club. And that would have probably been it.
And that would have been pack your bags off your pop.
I'd say. At the time, 16, I didn't really think of that. My dad was pretty adamant that that was going to happen. I mean, my parents are back in Canada. My dad called, like, I got a knock on the cell in the middle of the night. I'd fallen asleep. I got a knock on the cell, and the guy goes, Mr. Edgar, your dad's on the phone. I went, fucking no chance. He's back in Canada. And I answered, and he went, fucking tell the truth. Just tell him what happened. You'll be okay. I went, okay. I was honest about it, and... Luckily, they let me off. Yeah,
I don't think that would have been you though. If I got back to the club,
I know. But yeah, hindsight, who knows? It's just
they were led across the big market in handcuffs.
best part was I was wearing remember the Lakers jerseys? So I was wearing a bright yellow Lakers jersey with a white T-shirt underneath, handcuffs like that, and someone was shouting my name. I was like, oh, don't look up here. Back of like the riot van and everything. And Matty Jones, I remember Matty Jones was saying, he was like, what are we going to do? I was like, well, you've not done anything. Neither of the other two had actually done anything wrong. It was me who did it and handed it to them. And I just went, well, you guys tell the truth. Do what you have to do. I'll just tell you, you guys had nothing to do with it. So.
Did you just get a warning then?
I think I had I believe it was a caution. Yeah. Caution. And the police officer said, because of your honesty,
We all make mistakes, don't we?
To be fair, you know, if you're 16 in a nightclub in Newcastle and you're trying to keep a low profile, the yellow Lakers top is the perfect thing to wear.
as well.
Ridiculous, Air Force Ones, I don't think it's
perfect.
Snapbacks.
No, not then. I think I had the Dax wax on.
Did your dad play for Newcastle?
Yeah, my dad did.
Keeper?
Yeah, he was a goalkeeper, 73, 74. Right. Yeah, so he had one game for Newcastle, was FA Cup quarterfinal against Derby County when they were awesome. Got beat 4-2. He was a goalkeeper. And two of the goals ended up on 101 greatest goals. It's unbelievable. We watched it every Christmas. And he was on Match of the Day, I think he said, for 5 or 6 years. You know the introduction of Match of the Day? Because he was lining up a goal. He was lining up a free kick, and the guy whipped it in the other top bin, and he's flying across like that. So,
to be fair,
I can understand sitting down at Christmas to watch two goals if you'd scored them.
Yeah.
But if your keeper conceded him,
at least there were 100 best bloopers.
Yeah.
And to be fair, when you say, my one appearance, I conceded four, but two were worldies.
Yeah.
They're actually there on tape.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Yeah. You've got the proof in the pudding.
Yeah.
He said he never wanted to be a goalkeeper anyway. said he was a centre half, just too slow. Kind of like me.
We've had a few multi sportsmen on, but 800 metre runner, 1500 metre runner, long jump,
ice hockey.
Yeah.
Bit of everything.
I guess so, yeah. The school stuff was, I mean, it's not the most athletic country in the world. I wasn't at the most athletic school, but the ice hockey was proper over there. I was
decent.
I was pretty good, yeah. I know, there'll be a few people out there laughing now because I've told this story before, but I was probably a better hockey player than footballer. Again, not saying much, but it's...
Did you have a choice at some point?
Yeah, actually, so when I was here between... It was grade 8 and grade 9, where you go like elementary school to high school in Canada. I spent the entire summer here training with Newcastle. I think it was at Borough for a bit. I went up to Rangers and Celtic, trained a bit, just to kind of embrace myself in the environment. But the year that I was going into hockey was the biggest year. It was your draft year. So when you get drafted to the OHL, which is prior to the NHL, and I was most likely going to be drafted. So the manager, the ice hockey manager, was calling my nans because I was staying at my nans for the 6 weeks, and he was ringing me, which was like, it was kind of a big deal. But once I was there and once I was here and embraced in the football, I made the decision easy. I just said, no, I'm done. So that was it. Just focus on the football.
I'm assuming then your dad still had links at Newcastle, new people. Did you have family over here?
Yeah, so basically my entire family are Geordies. My dad emigrated over. He played for New York Cosmos with Pele, actually. And then my dad...
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, played with Pele.
think so I thought I was going to slip under the radar then. Your dad played with Pelle?
Yeah. Yeah, so signed Pelle strip straight off his back from the New York Cosmos. Like, good luck, Pelle. We've got, yeah. So my dad wasn't too happy when my sister pinned it to the wall. There's big pin marks in it, but yeah, we've got that. He said, I mean, he was, obviously it was Pelle, right? He's not got many stories, but he got a couple pictures with him and stuff, which is pretty cool.
Did he say we're any good?
Just a bit. Yeah, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. Yeah. But that was when Beckenbauer and everyone was in that league, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
And they had a record, then. Didn't they?
Yeah.
Did Man United offer you a YDS?
Yeah, I guess whatever it was at the time. I was 10. So we came over. Our local team back there came and did it was an Umbro tournament, Manchester United, and then an Arsenal tournament. And I believe I still have the paper of Man United offering me to come over if I lived here. They couldn't do anything at the time, obviously. But I was never going to be, my parents were never going to let me come over at 10.
Yeah.
So
what age were you then when you went in at Newcastle?
14. 14. 14. Yeah. So I did my first sort of semester of grade 9 in Canada. And then I couldn't, the school just wasn't for me. I just said to my dad, I got to go. So, but I was actually originally supposed to go to Celtic. So that was the plan. Celtic were supposed to, so that summer when I quit the hockey, Celtic invited me back, Newcastle invited me back, but Newcastle couldn't do anything because I didn't live there. And then my mom and dad weren't willing to let me go at 14 just yet. So Celtic were going to bring me over for 4 days a month, like an extended weekend, to keep me sort of engaged in the football side of it. But the scout got sacked right before Christmas. I was supposed to go over. He got sacked and that was it, done. And then Peter Kirkley, the scout from Newcastle, ended up sending us a Christmas card just saying, Merry Christmas, if you would still like to come over, the offer's there. And then me and my dad just kind of planned it behind my mom's back and I was gone in 2 weeks. Christmas. Right after Christmas.
Just didn't come up from school.
No, gone. Yeah.
Have you seen Ireland? Yeah, he's in Newcastle. Oh, all right. Yeah.
But did the accent work well with the year 11 girls?
Not bad, yeah.
School, yeah.
Not bad, yeah. They stuck me in bottom band when I first got there and it was carnage, absolute carnage. People lighting fireworks off and all sorts. I've come from a nice school and they're like, well, we don't know where your education is right now, so we're going to start you here. And I went, oh, I got, a couple of days, I was like, sir, I got to get out of here. Fireworks. Yeah. Absolute carnage. But yeah.
Was Alan Irvine still there?
Alan Irvine was there, yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant. He was there with the older lads. And then because I'd come over, they brought me in on like a all-day Tuesday. They brought me out of school and I'd train with 2 years up all day at the apprentices. And then the next year I did it with sort of the other age group. And then I moved in, obviously, full-time. I was lucky enough.
Was Matthew Patterson your age?
Matthew Patterson, yeah.
He's been in touch as well.
Has he? Good-looking fella. No.
Remember your first trip to Marbella?
Oh, God, yeah.
Was that in the youth team?
No. Marbella, with him? Yeah, no, that was like my first lads trip. I'd come from Canada and it was, I think we were playing the reserves at the time. We got a couple of days off and it was like, oh, okay, let's go to Marbella with him and one of our other mates.
That age then when you're going full time, is it a big cultural difference between living in Canada?
I think at the time I kind of took it in my stride because it was just what I wanted to do, right? It's all I wanted to do from a young age. But there was times when it was difficult. I found it more difficult when I'd go home in the off season and then have to come back, right? And then I found it more and more difficult as I got older. But when I was younger, I was so into my sports there. It wasn't like I was leaving much in Canada, apart from, obviously, that sounds terrible. My family. Sorry, Mom. But yeah.
Sorry, Mom.
But yeah, you know what I mean? So I kind of took my stride, and then as I got older and those relationships grew, then it became more and more tough. But yeah, no. The cultural difference was you had to be able to take the banter when you first got here, and that came left, right, and center. So when I got to that with some of the lads, it was okay.
Did it take a bit to get it, to understand it?
Yeah. Well, when I first came over too, I was shit, right? So I was good for Canada, but I was shit for England. So it took a couple months, and you know what it's like anywhere. You get the respect by on the pitch, right? It's something like that. So it took some time.
Did they tell you you were shit as well?
Pretty much.
Just used to the banter?
Yeah, they told me, and then the lack of speaking, they told me I was pretty shit as well. So when they didn't talk to you, you knew you were shit. But nah, it was good. Some lads were good, some lads were tough, but I just knew it was the nature of the beast. And it's the good thing was I had good coaches like Kenny Wharton, Peter Beardsley was there, Paul Baker, some of the young coaches at Newcastle were, which they saw, they must have saw potential or at least room for growth, because I wasn't playing with great players in Canada. So when I got there, I was catching up quicker. So they spent some time with me and luckily it worked out.
What's the crack with Sopranos?
Oh, fuck. Maddie? Yeah. We went through a stage, but Maddie Patterson was the most bizarre human. He bought a sandwich shop one time in Gateshead. And we were going through a Soprano box set at the time. So he ended up buying a leather jacket. We bought like a little table and chairs. And we used to sit outside and drink espressos when they thought we were laying the Sopranos. It was fucking outrageous. Outrageous. Yeah.
Did you say he bought a sandwich shop?
He bought a sandwich shop on Gateshead High Street. It is him and his brother. You know Matty. Bizarre.
Hey!
Yeah. Honestly, that's what it was like. We sat there that was like that. Just thinking there's police watching us. We were so engulfed in the show. It was ridiculous.
Oh, man.
I'm sure one time we were sat there and a car backfired and we thought we were getting...
The table.
Get down. It was like the final scene of The Sopranos. Honestly, some of the things, man.
Is the story behind the first Marbella trip?
I got away with it pretty unscathed. Party Pata got it pretty bad. I think the Newcastle fans got a hold of a picture of him where he looked ridiculous. And that got it, that made its way around, you know, when it wasn't necessarily social media, but it got away in like a Newcastle fan magazine and it was Party Patterson at it again. So we
bearing in mind, so this mid season and you're only in the reserves. So
yeah. It's not a good look. It's not a good look.
You get it, don't you?
But yeah. Yeah.
Good trip though.
Great trip. And it was my first look at Marbella. Actually it wasn't, I was out in Marbella earlier with the first team. That's how I got my first pro contract. We played.
How you got your first pro?
Yeah. So I was in the academy, and then we got. It was one of those like mid-season trips out, like Copa del Rey, something. We were playing out in Malaga, and I'd never heard of Malaga or Marbella, and I think Souness was the manager, and he brought a couple of the youngsters. We were never going to play, and it was more for the first team to have a piss up mid-season. So we didn't. So he played a few of the youngsters, and I thought I did all right, played well. And then on the Monday, at this point, I'm on 75 quid a week. On the Monday, it said in the back of the Chronicle, Edgar's not for sale. Apparently, I must have played well because the Marbella or the Malaga chairman tried to buy me for $1 million after. Yeah. If I knew what Marbella was like, I might have signed. I might have signed, right?
So, Graham, we'll have to make this move happen.
Yeah, so that's how I got my first pro.
You mentioned Bramble and Dyer. Did they take you under the wing?
Titus did, big time. Yeah, big time. He enjoyed a night out, that's for sure.
Because you mentioned about being a goldfish ball. I used to see him out all the time.
All the time, yeah.
Remember Stereo?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
Sunday night. Absolutely rammed.
On the Quayside, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it was digital on a Tuesday.
Saturday, just anyway.
Saturday, C on the Quayside, yeah. That was bad.
Because no, Trippier was saying that probably best if they don't go into town and whatever, yeah. But it was a complete opposite.
Back in the day.
Yeah, it's a little bit different now. I mean, Trips is, at that level, it's crazy. I've been out with him a couple of times and it's nonstop, but...
It's good to look after you though, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it was good. I mean, they showed us that sort of respect, but you kind of had to earn it, right? You just stayed quiet and things like that. And if you had a bit of personality, you know what it was like, the first team lads liked you and if you were any good, so...
And did you really develop by this stage in terms of your football and in terms of your bedding into the culture and having a voice in the dressing room?
A little bit. And I wouldn't say voice in the dressing room, but the reserves was good. I ended up making my way through there. And it got to a point where, like right before that Malaga trip that it didn't look like I was even going to get a pro or even prior to that a YTS. So I was just grateful to be there, right? You know what I mean? I wasn't supposed to play for Newcastle. I was fucking from Canada, right? So I was grateful no matter what and just kept working to play, right?
So when you're in back in Canada at 14, the 14-year-old drink over in Canada, like, you know?
No,
like,
no. I wasn't, not like here.
No.
When I got here, I was introduced to it, but...
And how long did that transition take?
till about probably 16, I'd say. Yeah, I didn't drink when I came over.
2 years and that's it. You're in Blue Bamboo, seven shots deep, nicking phones.
Honestly. Jeff just called me Brian.
Crazy, man. But yeah, it's like, you know, it's like the culture here. We're talking about it before. It's a little bit different. So
which one did you give your pro contract? Or who's in charge?
Souness was in charge. Yeah so Glenn Roeder was academy director at the time. And that was, so I came in the Monday and Glenn pulled me to his office and said, someone, the manager's on the phone. And it was Souness. And he said, come up to the first team. And then they just offered me a pro there.
So he's obviously been keeping an eye on you in the reserves. And
yeah, you know what? When we were actually invited out to the camp in Marbella, I don't know if he knew too much about us, really. I think I trained well the first couple of days and the lads must have been pissed. So he said, throw them in. a few of us played. And I remember giving the ball away for like a couple times. And and Shira was on the bench and he went, and I made a tackle and he went, fucking get in, big man. And that was it. Just
lifted
like chest up. And then just played. And I, to be honest, I always felt like I wanted to play out in Spain anyways. Tranquilo, isn't it? But,
Did you have much to do with Freddie Shepherd?
So Freddie was the... Actually, yeah, so...
Matty again.
Yeah. Well, so you remember the movie Goal?
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad saw me play against Fulham. That one?
Yeah.
So we were kind of... That Santiago Munoz trained with the academy with us. So he couldn't kick a ball. You could see it in the movie. He couldn't kick a ball. But good lad and loved the night out. So we would tag along, right? He was a Hollywood star, I guess. But we had been invited. We were sort of in and around the first team at the time, Maddie and I, and we were living together and we'd been invited to the red carpet premiere at the gate in Newcastle. Red carpet. I didn't think it was actually going to be a red carpet, right? So we were in, Maddie's family lived in Bentham, and just outside of Gateshead. So we just stopped. We had a couple of pints, and you know where that leads, and a couple more. And we weren't pissed, but we ended up with the red carpet. But chances were we ended up in the lift with the chairman. And whatever, we got up the lift, watched the movie, went home, training next day or whatever it was. And Lee Clark pulled us. He went mental. He's like, fuck. And this is the first time we're actually admitting it, Matty said. But he's like, were you fucking idiots pissed? And the chairman and the goal. Looked at him and went, no. Didn't touch it. We wouldn't do that. Wouldn't touch a drop. And Matty Patson looked at him. He went, Clarky, never. We wouldn't do it. We just wouldn't do it. And I don't know, to this day, that's the first time we've admitted it because we were pissed.
Was Clarky there?
Clarky was there. Yeah, Clarky was there. Well, Clarky was reserve team manager, I think, at the time. So, and he loved us, Clarky, Matty and I. We played football. He enjoyed the banter. It was a good time, but...
How did he know? Were you dicking about in the lift?
No, we weren't giggling. Listen, we weren't pissed, but you can smell six pints on someone in a lift.
Grab the
right?
chairman's ass.
Yeah. Yeah. So the chairman must have said something. And then there was another one with Freddie Shepherd, which is like, it shows you the type of guy he was and the chairman he was. We were just youngsters. And Maddie and I started going to the nice restaurants, I guess, in Jesmond and
a booth.
Yeah.
Your suits. Yeah.
The leather jackets.
Still the New York accent. Yeah.
But he. Yeah, and just like things like that, like the chairman picking up our bill and stuff like that not long after we made our debut. It's just nice things like that that, I mean, shows you what the type of person he was, right?
What was Peter Beardsley like as a coach? You know, when you can't actually tell what he's saying?
Yeah.
It must have been hard for him to translate.
Man, you would have loved him. He stopped at McDonald's every time after a week.
I think that might be the second little dig that
night. That's what we do. No, I mean, he had the crisps in the back of the bus. He had literally would stop Weatherby Whaler after every reserve game. The order would come in and it was that. There was no sports science behind it. Just go out and play football. And he loved it. It was just shooting practice and it was class. I mean, again, I was a kid from Canada getting coached by Peter Beardsley. So
yeah. Was there much, I don't know whether you can say or not, but because he ended up losing his job over, was it bullying or something?
Oh yeah, it was bullying. I remember that.
Could you see that or not? Or is it just a farce?
No, I you know what? Because of the fact, what I was talking about, that I didn't class it as bullying. It was just part of what it was growing up, right? So I didn't see it personally. I just...
Tough love.
It might have been behind the scenes. I don't know. But it was, tough love. It's just part of the game, I thought. But
how were you when you were in and around that first team then with, like you said, your Shearers, your Michael Owens, were you rabbit in the headlights or?
Yeah, a little bit. I remember coming in one time and I think it was injured or something. I picked up the racing post and then Michael Owen came in the dressing room. He went, "Hey, don't touch the Bible." I said, "Well, you've got any tips?" It was Cheltenham. I've never put a bet on my entire life. And he gave me a 22-1 and an 8-1 the first time and I was hooked. And that was it. I was the horses.
Did they both win?
Both win.
Oh, cheers,
yeah.
Michael.
Yeah, I know. So I had him in a reverse forecast and they won. Yeah, and they came in 22-1, finished first, I believe. And that was it. This is good.
That's bloody cheating.
I know. Ridiculous. Yeah, but yeah,
he's coming forecast. In. Do not worry.
Are the odds on that, John? 22-1 and 8.
And an 8-1.
Cheltenham.
Yeah.
You put a tenner on that, mate. You're not far off Elon Musk.
No, there were some big hitters there at the time. Real big hitters. So I was quiet.
Got to be, haven't you?
Have to be. It's the only way you survive. Speak when spoken to. And don't give the ball away when Craig Bellamy's around.
What were your thoughts on Bellas?
I liked him. I just thought he had very, very high standards and he could be ruthless, don't get me wrong, but high standards and he just loved football. Just loved football.
Were you ever on the receiving end of that ruthlessness?
Matty Patterson was.
he hasn't put that on yet.
No, funny enough. So we got sent, so the academy was here and the first team ground was here and there was a gate. So sometimes you get the phone call, we need two players. And it was me and Matty one time. I was quite a simple player. I'd get it and move when you play with the first team. Matty would do 15 step overs and a couple of Cruyffs. And one too many for Beller's liking. And one time he kept giving away and he just flicked the ball up and picked the ball up. And he went, "Nah, we're not training. Nobody's training until you send that ginger fuck back."
And by the way, I can totally see this.
He said, held on to the ball. And I remember Shearer was like, "Come on, Beller's, no." And I'm going, "No, I'm doing all right here." But he was saying, "Send them back." I've gone, Bellers, I'm okay. But yeah, we got sent back. It was just because it was...
So you had to go as well?
Yeah, we went, sent us back to the academy. Just because
Maddie
was giving the ball away.
You are. I'm going, "Yeah, get in your ginger fuck."
Bellers, he's fucking having one, isn't he? No. But that's just it. Like, as if he's picked the ball up and said, no, stop training.
Stop training, it's not good enough. He'll never make it, he said. Matty made his debut a couple months later, but yeah.
"We're not training until you send that ginger fuck back."
Yeah.
Fair play to Patter, though.
Well, you got it, yeah. Look at Patter, man. He, like I say, he made his debut, he does his knee, his old man passes away, all within the space of a couple months, right? And then does his knee again, comes back, does his knee again. So yeah, you do, you build that resilience to things like that. That's not going to bother you. Plus he was ginger. What are you going to do?
Facts.
Yeah.
You know, like, the thing is, next time he come over, maybe he won't have tried that.
You know what I mean? Yeah, just get it and move it. Yeah. So it's simple. Mm. But it's not Matty.
How did the rest of the lads get on with Bellas? Because I can remember being in C one night, and I were downstairs, and the whole Newcastle squad were downstairs, and Bellamy and Robert, I think, they were just upstairs on their own. Why did the rest of the lads get on with him?
You know what? Like, I don't know. I wasn't close enough in that sort of, rabbit in the headlights at times. I was just happy to be there. So I never felt established in the first team at Newcastle. So it was tough to tell. Robert was an interesting one. I remember sitting in his seat one time. I had no idea it was his seat in the canteen. And he just stood over me, went, "Move." I remember one of the lads going, "Come on, Lauren, like, let him sit there." He went, "No, move." Okay, pick up. Right? Like, what am I supposed to say there?
Yeah.
See, I'd rather Bellamy call us a ginger fuck and get in
than
go like
embarrassed.
Right.
Embarrass you, strip you down in front of everybody else.
Would you have been there with Andy Griffin?
I never really had, I know. So I was still in like the reserves underneath that, yeah.
Because he laid him out.
Did
Robert,
he?
Yeah.
Did he really? I can see that. He was meant to be solid, Andy Griffin, wasn't he?
Little bull.
Yeah.
And aggressive with it.
Solano there.
Yeah, and Nobby was there, played the trumpet. Yeah. Yeah, Pink Panther was his go-to song.
Did he used to bring it on away trips and that?
He used to bring it, so when he was injured, you could hear him practice it in the training ground.
Can you imagine just getting down, coach of all your gear? Move that fucking trumpet over here.
Yeah, honestly, injured playing the trombone. And he played in like a salsa band on a Sunday night in the Cooperage. In Newcastle, yeah, loved it. Yeah, apparently, and the parties were meant to be unbelievable. I never was never invited to one, but it was just like coolers full of Coronas and just a salsa band on at all times. Just meant to be mental, Ben.
Where's Nobby? Just follow the music.
Oh, he's in here. Yeah.
But yeah, he ended up, actually, Nobby got in touch a couple years back. He ended up coaching a Peruvian team in Toronto in like a random league. Like a text was Nobby Solano. It's like, oh my God.
Did you go meet up with him?
No, I never saw him. He didn't last long.
Great, John Bourne, shit manager.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about the passion of the fans and everything in Newcastle. Was that something that you were fearful of at a younger age?
No, it never crossed my mind. I like, all I wanted as a kid was the fans to sing a song about me. I don't think it ever happened, but like those types of things when you're a kid, but you would see it. You could see how ruthless it could be.
By the way, as well, you hit the ground running. So yeah. Rodgers give you your debut against Man United.
Yeah. Well, it was my debut was the week before, Bolton away, right? And on Boxing Day. And then we played the FA Cup.
This is your home debut.
So this is my home debut. And really, that's the one I wanted. St. James's Park. You remember being there as a kid and stuff. And then what a way to do it, New Year's Day.
How did it come about? You mentioned the injuries before at that time.
So it was loads of injuries. And even the night before, it was New Year's Eve. We trained and I'm pretty sure he was going to play Nicky Butt at centre back and then Huntington out to the left back. And then it got in the next day and me and Maddie have come in our suits and sit there. We thought, fuck,
shades on.
Yeah,
boots in a violin case.
Yeah. But we got there. I've sat down and I remember it was Shea Given and he went, "You're playing today, horse." I went, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, you're playing today. Nicky's injured, like Nicky Butt, or Nick, he was sick or something." And I've looked around, he wasn't there. And then it fucking, whoa. And then all of a sudden the door opens and Glenn Roeder goes, "Eddie, come here." And I've gone, okay, I've gone. And I've heard the lads laughing. And Shea Given was walking behind, like pretending to scoop up shit behind me. It was fucking brilliant. Was like, the whole way to the dressing room, like that. And I got into the manager's office and he goes, "Right, you're gonna play left back?" And I went, and I swear to God, I asked who played right wing for Man United. Obviously, it's fucking Ronaldo.
Was it just nervous energy?
So who's on the right wing? Sorry, yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, and then
No one won't play me. Yeah.
But yeah, it was just everything you can like. I mean, you dream of as a boy, right?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think timeline wise. Ronaldo at that point, is he established? He's well established in the United team and top.
Yeah, he's flying then. Boy. He's flying then.
I've got here. You marked him out of the game. You scored and got man of the match.
Yeah.
Thanks for sending us them notes.
That's pretty much my career there, man. There you go.
Thanks
we're
for
done. We're done this cut.
Yeah. Thank you and good night.
Yeah. So, yeah. It was,
I mean, you must have thought I've arrived here.
In a sense, it's. I mean, at the time, yeah. You look back now, it's like, dream about something your entire life. You work your entire life for something, then you do it at 19. The fuck do you do after that? Right? Like, that's what takes them to the top players to the next level. I think they keep going and going. So
your dad there?
My dad was there. Was lucky enough
to fly over, or was he already?
Listen, if I was anywhere near the first team, he just seemed to be there, right? He was there, there'd be fly, he was hovering around and just in case we made the debut, right? Yeah. He was there for about 6 months. But yeah.
Was it on telly? So could family walk back home?
That's
watch
the thing, because it was the big game, the New Year's Day 7 o'clock kickoff. In Canada, you get that. You get those one game, right? And
at what time of the day would it have been over in Canada then?
So five hours behind, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, right. So they couldn't
on TV.
I didn't know, right? So my dad sat in the players' lounge, which I'm pretty sure that's why they don't serve lamb shanks anymore, because my dad ate them all. And he used to go in the players' lounge and eat all these lamb shanks, and he was sat there. And I walked into my kit. He went, "You on the bench?" I went, looked at him. I went, "No, I'm starting." Fuck, nearly choked. So obviously word got back to Canada. My aunt and uncle and all that, and my sister went around my mom's and they all watched it there, and it was what happened.
Proudest punch after the game.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
I bet, man.
It was emotional.
That goal as well.
No, it was actually, it felt like it was 2-2, so I scored the equaliser.
It was a beauty, you know, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good. Where are we going with this? Are we going?
No, well, I'm thinking, that is a compliment.
I'm thinking, what a fucking night I'm going to have tonight, by the way.
Yeah, you didn't go to Blue Bamboo, did you?
We did. We ended up. What else to do?
Right. Fuck.
Blue Bamboo, yeah. We went to Hannah, Blue Bamboo, standard.
It's rough, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Because he's never been. It is rough, that big market.
But rough for scoring your debut against Man United.
Would it have been apartment back then? Remember apartment?
I think a bit too posh for us. Yeah.
Nah, you just scored and you did.
It was not like it was a first team player. You know what I mean? It wasn't like we was making loads of money. Just Blue Bamboo thumbprint.
You might have been a bottle of champagne.
You must have.
You must have nicked that night. Surely to God. Surely.
I think so. Yeah.
I think so.
Did Broder have a chat with you? Just settle yourself down, or was there any kind of mentorship? Is that a word?
That's a word, Chris.
Yeah.
Not necessarily from... It was kind of like... Yeah, there wasn't a lot. No, there wasn't. Figure it out yourselves, right? It was... Lucky my dad was over and whatnot, but it... Regardless, something like that happens, it explodes, right? So you're like... I mean, John might like this one. You like a good shit story, don't you? But, it was only a couple of days after where I've never, I wouldn't have done this a couple of weeks prior to it, but I'm in TGI Fridays in the gates and I go to the toilet and I come back. It was after a night out. And I come back, I'm sitting with my mate having some food and a couple of drinks, and this girl comes over and it was like, in my head, I assume she's coming to ask for an autograph or a picture, right? At the time, right?
Well, you have played.
Right? So I'll be honest about that. So, because it was starting to kind of happen in Newcastle, and then she goes, and I'm assuming she'd come over. So I'm like, yeah, no problem. And she goes, excuse me. Well, yeah, she goes, you've got toilet paper stuck to you. And I went, oh my God. So I've looked, obviously you look at your shoes, nothing. She went, no, it's out your jeans. Oh, excuse me? And I've looked and I had a piece of shitty toilet paper.
shitty.
Coming down here. And you know the TGI's at the gate, you come down the stairs. So it must have been in the wind, like that, all the way back to the front of the TGI's. And there's here me thinking she wants an autograph.
Which bit is when she told him he had his arm round her,
ready for a selfie. No, sorry, sir.
Walking down that big bumper.
Honestly, so it can go to your head.
And where are you about? Whereabouts are you? You're 19. You made your debut. Have you signed a pro contract here?
So I've signed a pro at 17. I might have got another one. It wasn't like crazy stuff, and I would have signed another deal after that. And then 21, it was gone. So
did they keep you in the team?
I don't think I played the next game. No, I didn't really. It was what it was, man.
Yeah, I'm going. I'm going in and kicking off.
Yeah,
I've just fucking marked that Portuguese prick out at game.
Yeah,
I'm leaving a bit of shitty toilet paper. Oh.
You like a good shit story.
Long time listener.
So you obviously when Allardyce come in.
Yes. Yeah, Big Sammy was class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah. I liked him. I got a lot of time from even just like talk about off field stuff. On field stuff, I thought he was very, that's when the sports science started coming into it and things like that. And it was new to a lot of the big hitters, like the speakers on the side of the pitch on a Friday with his headset. And I remember Kieran Dyer looking around, going, what the fuck is this? But I mean, that's normal now, stuff like that, right? But even I lost my best friend when I was 19 in a car crash back in Canada. And I went to see Sam just to ask for a couple of days to fly home. And he couldn't have been better. Like, those are the type of things that stick with you, right? He couldn't have been better. And he tells me a story about him losing his own mate. And it's kind of like just normal human beings, right? So I think that's where I've got a lot of respect and a lot of time for him. Mm-hmm. And that, and he played me a couple of games too. So, yeah.
Was he as long ball as what everyone makes out? Or were he tactically astute?
It wasn't like long ball. It was more of a strategy because he had the players in Newcastle play, right? So he was playing. He talked about POMO 1, position of maximum opportunity in terms of where you're crossing the ball and set pieces. It was interesting. Like, it was a tough time in Newcastle. I mean, near the end, I remember a fan ran on. I was on the bench and a fan ran on, chucked his season ticket, and then that was it. Like, so it was tough. There was some tough times in Newcastle, right?
Mm-hmm. That's when you know all your days are numbered, when the fans are launching.
But I mean, he'd get the team together, he'd take us out for nights out, like dinners, there'd be a magician, like things like that, like stuff to keep the group together that I never had before. So it was good. On my way down here, I went through how many managers. I had 6 managers at Newcastle in the first team, right? So think about it at the time. You had Roeder, Allardyce, Joe Kinnear. Remember Joe Kinnear?
Oh, fucking hell. Well, we'll get into that.
Keegan. So it's
Shearer,
Chris Hughton. So it was a bit of a revolving door, right? Mm. And I I think I played under most of them. So they must have seen something in me at some point, yeah. But it's just, it was that consistency of whether that was manager or me, it is what it is, right?
Sounds like they were putting you in and then for whatever reason, yeah. You just couldn't become established.
I always felt like it was the easy one to drop, right? You know, like the youngster, the Canadian, nice kid, easy one to drop. That's what I was.
He'll not mourn.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, would you not mourn?
No.
One for knocking on doors or...
I would knock on a manager's door and I would say, why am I not playing? I would ask the questions and then they would give you the reasons and then I'd go away and do these things. And if I might play or I might not play. So it was bullshit most of the time. A lot of the time, right? It is. So you go out and you do the things that are asking you to do. And some managers were just honest, like, you don't fit my plans. Perfect. No problem. I can deal with that.
Yeah.
Right.
But which of those managers, Keegan, Kinnear, Shearer, Chris Hughton, Roder, would you be exhaling just before you knocked, you know, just taking that extra, here we go.
I think they were all good. They were, I mean...
Even Kinnear?
No, good people. No, no. I mean...
That was a strange one.
No, that was a strange one. I mean, I was telling that one before, like, when we were all sat in the office, Chris Hughton was the interim at the time. We were in the meeting room and he said, like, lads, you've got your new manager here. And I'd come from Canada, right? So I had a decent background of football knowledge, not the likes of you guys, but... I didn't know who Joe Kinnear was. I'd never heard of him. So Chris Hughton said, our new manager's Joe Kinnear. And all I heard at the back was Shea Given. He went, you're fucking Joe Kinnear. Like, it was the funniest thing ever. You're fucking Joe Kinnear. And I went, I'm going to Andy Carroll. Who the fuck's Joe Kinnear? I can't. It was brilliant. The timing was priceless. But yeah, and then that came in. But I remember, I think, yeah, he had some health problems too. It was probably the red wine. I mean, it was...
It doesn't matter where you're from. Normally, you'd know who's going to be the manager in Newcastle. Do you know what I mean? From a player's point of view, you think, I'm going to know at least his name.
Yeah. That was a strange one.
From nowhere, wasn't
it? Yeah, from nowhere. It was,
And just imagine, you know, like at Fulham, they're getting the Harrods gift sets at Christmas, and at Newcastle they're like, yeah, there's the big Sports mug. Direct mug. There you go, lads. Slazenger vest.
What was the crack with the Shearer thing? Shearer and Owen in particular.
Oh, that was when Shearer was manager?
Yeah.
Near the end, yeah. So again, Shearer came in for six games before the end of the season we got relegated. He came in and he liked me and did well, and he actually dropped Colaccini. That was my, for me, you got the goal and everything, but for him to drop Colaccini to play me at Stoke away in the middle of a back three was one of my, probably my biggest moments, right? We get a 1-1 draw in a relegation dogfight, but it was, I don't remember the things with Owen and stuff like that, really. I was just kind of like, I'm going to play, I might play, and we might fucking get relegated. It's Newcastle United. Like, what's going on here?
So you think if they'd have given Shearer 12 games, you'd have stayed up.
I think so.
How was he as a motivator? Because obviously his club, the stature that he's at that club. I imagine was it different to a regular manager, a Joe Kinnear?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I can't speak for any of the sort of the big hitters, but to me, he was someone who I had his picture on, like I had his jersey, I had a picture on my wall growing up. So I didn't need much motivation, like words from encouraging. So it was just for him in the building was a boost for everyone in the club. And I think, like you say, had it been a longer time, we might have stayed up. But it was just like, you look back and you think, I think the whole, nobody believed we were going to get relegated. I think that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Even within the dressing room, you're like, you're too good to get relegated, the players we had.
Some squad to go down, man.
Yeah. Well, you look at the day we went down, you got like Damien Duff, Michael Owen, Obafemi Martins, James Milner might have been in Villa already. He might have relegated us.
Cheers, James.
Yeah.
At this point, are you thinking you just want to become established somewhere?
Yeah. It was kind of like even now, like piecing this stuff back together, it's like I never felt like a first team player there. And I mean, it wasn't until later on. It might never have happened. I might never have felt like a first team. I might have found my level somewhere else, but I was in and around it. So
do you ever have that thing in the back of your head where you thought, might not be bad for me, this going down?
Yeah.
I might fucking play every week.
Yeah. Yes. No. Yeah. I don't know. It was a bit of a difficult one because contract was up. I'd been offered something. It went like, it was a bit of a strange situation. I wanted to stay. I didn't want to leave in Newcastle. And yeah, I should have, like, probably would have played the whole next season. whether that be right back. You know how it's like when you don't start your career as a young centre back at centre back. You start usually left back, right back, and move your way in. And that's probably what I should have done. I think if you're looking back, say hindsight's easy, but my one regret in football would be deciding to leave.
But so there were a contract there for you to sign at Newcastle in the Championship?
Yeah, but what happened was Newcastle had offered me 2-3 deals. Because of it was such a shambles at the club, they'd offered me a couple deals, which I turned down because it was what I was on. I felt, I mean, something like...
Was that in line with young lad?
No, it was in line with... They treated me like a local lad, I think, which
yeah,
was...
Yeah, that's what
right.
That's what I was
so
getting
it's e- so it's easy to just not value them, right? So that's what I think happened, which I turned down, which is standard. I think that's easy in the first offer, but because it was a shambles, they just kept sending the same offer back. It wasn't, and I didn't really have a good agent. I had an agent in Canada who couldn't get a phone call back from anyone. So I was kind of left in limbo a little bit. And then Burnley came and they got promoted. So it's kind of like, stay in the Premier League. Do I go and play there? And I made the decision. Like, yeah. I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do.
A much better contract offer from Burnley to what Newcastle.
Much better. Yeah.
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 Owen Coyle.
Coyley. Coyle. Yeah. I mean, you met him at the stadium, played a bit of head tennis, and you signed. That's what happened. Like,
is that a ritual?
Pretty much what happened. That's the ritual, right?
That's the medical as well. No,
the medical was literally just like that. And I signed. And before I knew it, I was in, I'll never forget it. It was in the Duncan Hall Hotel near Blackburn. And I'm sat there going, fucking hell, I've just left Newcastle. I'm at Burnley my whole life. Like since I was 14 years old. You know, and then comes across the TV, Michael Jackson's dead. That's how I remember the day I signed for Burnley, Michael Jackson's dead. I was like, that's a bit of an omen.
I was like, oh, I don't think it's going to be as big a news in Berlin.
But I was suspended for the first game, which I completely forgot about because I got sent off.
Sent off
I got
the last
sent
game.
Off the last game. We got relegated, right? Ashley Young, a little bit too much pace for me. And I got sent off in the last minute the day we got relegated.
Was so, it a three-gamer or just a one?
It was just a one-gamer. So it was the first game of this of the new season, new Premier League season with Burnley. And that was it. Couldn't get in after that.
And when did you alert him to this or did he alert you?
I don't think they knew until really close to the beginning of the season. It was kind of, we went away, did preseason in LA. So that was Stag Deuce 15, whatever it was called.
Were it like that even in the Premier League? Pre-season?
Jesus. Yeah, when I first got to Burnley, it was like, what we got, I think we got from the bus from Burnley to Heathrow to get the flight, and it was, okay, I think Stevie Caldwell was the captain, pub, straight to the bar on pre-season tour, and it was, and then that was it. That was what our pre-season was.
And was that different to Newcastle?
I don't even remember going on a pre-season with Newcastle. I think we only, I think because it was only like local or Keswick or something like that we did with Newcastle. So it wasn't, yeah, it was different. But then it was all different. I got to Burnley and it was, okay, so where's the training ground? And we pulled into the stadium, you get changed there, and then you drive to the training ground. It was just a field. And it was like, whoa, what? I didn't think this one through.
Did you? But, you obviously never went and had a look before you signed.
No, just, you say, I wasn't, when I look back now, I had zero guidance. And that's not about my dad. Or it was just because I was here by myself. I was 21 years old and had a shit agent, and it was just one of them.
You just presumed that everything were like Newcastle.
Just presumed, yeah. It's kind of like, yeah. It's, I didn't really know. You don't know the real world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm glad I did it. Like, I'm glad I did it. It was an experience and one of the best 6 years of my life turned out to be.
Who takes you under the wing or build up friendships with straight away in the Burnley dressing room?
That was easy. It was everyone. I mean, there was a big, so it was an older group, but he signed a bunch of young players. So we had Kevin McDonald, Scottish lad, Stephen Fletcher, Brian Easton, another ginger lad. Mm. And it was just, and then Alex McDonald was just the five of us just balled about here around like Ramsbottom, Bury, Manchester. The first year I had a Mrs. with me, so I didn't do too much, and then that was it with her. And the second year it was
showtime.
yeah, the shackles were off. Yeah, it was good then.
And was Owen Coyle, did Owen Coyle know that you were going out as much as you got?
Well,
you were?
I didn't really go out the first season. Pre-season was big and he was fine with it because he was teetotal, but he was fine with it as long as you train. And it was a big drinking team.
Did Blakey look after you?
Blakey was good. Yeah, Blakey was a good lad. Great lad. What a left foot. Had that reverse volley on him, didn't he? Yeah, Blakey, Michael Duff, Stevie Caldwell, Clark Carlisle. So you had those older players like looking after you. And it's and just down to earth from the dressing room I just came from, right?
Yeah.
Like the Michael Owens, the things like that, where it is just a different world.
And did you prefer that to the...
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did, because I felt part of it. But it was just carnage, man. You learned a lot about people on those tours. Mm. A lot about people.
It surprises me that Coyle would like accept the boozing.
I think he's just all for the team, isn't he?
Yeah. 100%. Because it was
morale.
He didn't have to with that group that got promoted, he didn't like the lads said he didn't have to do much because they policed themselves. Right? If anything was going wrong, Duffo, Stevie Caldwell, they sorted out.
I'm trying to remember now, timeline. When did Coyle leave?
Halfway through season, yeah.
But by that time, you've not really been getting a chance. So you're thinking, new manager, Brian Laws comes in.
Brian Laws comes in, I played his first game, Old Trafford away.
So you're thinking,
here we go.
Bye, Mr. Coyle,
here we go. Yeah, and it wasn't like, again, you'd sit here, I didn't play. He was a great man. He was a good guy. Yeah. Training was good. It was the same thing every day. But you knew with Coyle, he was superstitious. The team was never going to change. So he'd stick with his team. And even though you got beat, his superstition would be like, but they did well for me 2 weeks ago. And you get the standard, you go all the young on a Friday and the lads would be looking at each other going, oh, here we go. And the walk's coming, you'd come around going, you're doing great. Yeah, keep going, you'll be in the team. And the other lads going, fuck. But just the team wouldn't change.
What were the lads, because that were a bit of a strange one as well. Brian Laws just pretty much came out from nowhere. Didn't it? A bit Kinnear-like.
Yeah, that was a strange, that one came in and then all of a sudden we're in the Lowry in Manchester and then going for a walk. And it felt like it just happened like that. And then I played Trafford away and then in and out the team again. Mm. So it's just one of those.
Did you know who Brian Laws were?
Yeah, I knew who Brian Laws were. Yeah, I knew who Brian Laws were. Yeah.
There was Google then.
He felt like he had his hands tied though, didn't he? Because we've had Brian on.
Yeah.
And there was that when Kev went to the pub at half time.
It's the media side of it too, right? Like they were getting pumped. Kev's easy one takes off at halftime 4-0. He's got all of his mates come down, his dad, his uncles, all down from Scotland, Carnoustie. They're in the pub across the street. As soon as Kev got taken off, they go to the pub, but he was just dropping his keys in, right? And then the fucking story comes. Kev McDonald subbed at halftime, pub.
Yeah.
And then that's it, right? And I think Brian Laws left after that, and Eddie Howe came in after? And that's his first impression of Kev McDonald. Right, so it's perception. Yeah, pretty much. By the end of that season, he was gone.
So he's not actually had a drink, he's just dropped his keys.
Dropped his keys off to his dad, but he was in a pub when he was supposed to be playing in the Premier League. Right. So
I get things to yourself. Fuck me, I wish I'd have had a gallon. I might as well have, everybody thought.
Oh, honestly, if you're gonna get in trouble for it.
He liked you though, didn't he? Eddie Howe.
He did, yeah, he did. That was probably my most consistent time of football, and it was fun. It was good football.
Why do you think that was? What did he do?
Well, at the beginning when he first came in, so he had a lot of older players that he was kind of like dealing with, and near the end of that, I went on loan to Swansea during that period, and I came back and then ended up playing the last game against Cardiff, I think, at home, and then that was kind of like, all right, the summer was to build on. You got rid of some of the older players, and then we built the next season with a young squad, and it was just total football. He tried to play total football. He said, "Listen, you're going to split to the." This is when Barcelona had their centre backs drop into the thing. I said, "Yeah, but." I'm David Edgar and I'm playing into Chris McCann. We're going to give goals away, right? Like it's no offense, but we're going to give...
She's fucking shit, Mac.
We're going to give goals away. And we did, but like 4-3s, 5-2s, things like that. It was entertaining, but it was tough being a defender.
You established yourself.
Established myself.
44 appearances that season?
Something like that. So
this
good.
Is probably the first... And what age are you? 25-ish?
Yeah.
But 25, it's the first time you've ever actually felt... I'm established in a team.
Yeah, 100%. And I had this conversation recently with my old man who was just saying, like, if I had my choice again, I'd probably do my career in reverse order.
Yeah.
Right? You'd probably kind of go and start and build up and learn how to be a professional, learn how to be a player and those, like, the little nuances you need to be a top player and play consistently. Right?
Did you ever take part in his team building exercises, Eddie's?
Sheep herding. Oh, yeah. I thought that was an interesting one. We like I know Tripp said it. He said we 100% thought we were going to do something like
fun.
Like even just, like, I don't know, a pub or something. But it's never going to happen. But yeah, we showed up and it was actually dangerous. Like the potholes and everything. But he was just like, come on, fucking buy in. And we bought into it. We're all linking hands. And I remember, I think I went in close to Eddie when the sheep came and it was no chance. Let that thing go.
These things were fucking flying over. Let no, that thing go.
Yeah, no chance.
Stay together.
Yeah, I was mental.
Would you see him at Burnley? Could you see him obviously going on and doing what he's done now?
Yeah, I could. And I think it was disappointing not the way he left, but I went away on international and then I just saw in the news he was gone. So it was the first time I managed, like, fuck, I had 20 managers in my career, but the first time a manager left, I was like, fuck, I'm playing. You know what I mean? This is now what happens. So
this is the last one for Matty. You'll be pleased to know. Canada 2007.
He must have put on 18 pounds in 2 weeks. I've never chicken wings and beer. That was it, man. It was right. What a trip. What a trip. And the exchange rate was good. So your money went 2.5 there in Canada. So Matty came over with fucking 10 grand or something. It was gone in a week. Just like you say, chicken wings and beer. It was just showing him a different side of it. And he really put the timber on that trip. And then we went into preseason. I think you can Google a photo. He's humongous. We played Hull away and actually, I think Nigel Pearson pulled him and said, listen, son, if you don't lose weight, you'll never play. And that's when the realization, because you know what he's like with the gym, red face and everything. It was unbelievable.
Just think Fez, Andy Farrell.
Yeah. What now?
Yeah.
Tell you what, £18, that's just a steady away summer, isn't it?
That's not a big one, is it?
That was a week, though. That was in a week.
Swift break in play, gentlemen, for our series sponsor, BetMate.
I'm enjoying this game.
We're getting into it, aren't we?
It's getting serious, isn't it?
I'm actually learning more about football as I'm playing. I didn't have a clue at most of the players, so I've just literally winged it last week.
Well, for those who don't know, BetMate is seven-a-side fantasy football. You choose a different team every week, and we're involved every week, aren't we? And this week, we've got our Under the Cosh special league.
Free game.
Free to enter. If you put in the code UTC5 on signing up, you get £5 in your bucket, a free fiver. And then we've got the Under the Cosh Free League, which we've picked our teams for.
Cut the crap, lads. Who's your captain?
Haaland.
Nottingham Forest away. Haaland is dangerous.
He's getting 9.
Who's your vice captain?
I've gone Mason Mount.
Kevin De Bruyne.
Don't ask us why.
Mitrovic.
Pickford in goal at home to Leeds. Sean Dyche, Revolution. Leeds are shite.
But this is going to be interesting. Like every week we're going to do our seven-a-side team.
Game changer, you get points for tackles.
Yeah.
So pick a midfield warhorse.
So that's Thomas, the thing, isn't it?
Thomas Partey, he'll pick up a lot of points for me.
Yeah. I think we should have a forfeit for the end of the season. Who does worse? We've got to come 100%. Up with something degrading.
No problem at all. It's my middle name.
You look so proud then.
But I think there's 20 winners. If you want to get yourself involved, get UTC free in when you click join the league.
Futra. Everybody thinks they're a manager, don't they?
Let's find out now.
Put your money where your mouth is.
So this is going to be a league for Under the Cosh listeners?
Yeah. If you're listening or watching, get involved. This is just us. Very intimate.
This is going to be
nice and intimate.
I'm taking this serious.
I'm putting a suit on Saturday. So the link's in the description if you're watching, or just go to the App Store, BetMate, and get that UTC5 in to get your £5 free deposit, and then join the free league UTC free. And you're in the league for this weekend.
Game on.
I'm excited.
Showtime.
I'd like to say good luck, lads, but
I'm in my kitchen on Saturday, mate. Suit on. Deep heat in the room. I've got one of them air dispensers, but I'm just deep heating bottle. Chat it, lads. Come on, lads. We can do this.
If we're going down that route, I'm going Gatorade, water fountain.
I'm going to be kicking that round kitchen if it's all going to shit at half time.
Get a Bielsa jobby and sit in corner.
I'm going to sit in a bucket.
Pathetic.
So you've got Kieran Trippier in the squad.
Yeah.
Keith Tracy. The previous guests.
Yeah. Trips. Big Voxy. Yeah, it was a good squad. Like, I don't know if Voxy was there yet. He might have been in and out because Voxy had a loan spell and came back. But yeah, Trips had come in. Typical Trips. The first day he came in, Gucci hat, Gucci shirt. Like the G's. And you're like, what is going on here with this kid? But what a footballer. Absolutely, what a footballer and great lad. He ended up coming to my wedding and still in touch to this day. So he's gone on to a little bit of a better career than I did.
He's doing all right for himself.
He's doing all right.
I don't know. He probably watched this. I don't know if he's seen the comments, but when we done him and he got that Louis Vuitton jumper on, innit? And the comment was, "That's fake. Louis Vuitton have never done a jumper like that." So,
yeah.
I don't know if you need to show the receipt or what, but.
I don't think he needs a fake.
By the way, it says a lot about Eddie Howe as well, because he'd heard that you were back over and got in touch, didn't he? And welcomed you to the training ground or whatever.
I've been over for the week here and I got to the Fulham game and I got in touch with the assistant manager and he said, yeah, bring him in after the game. Like to do that after such a big game, you score last minute, St. James win the game, and he still had 5 minutes for me after all these years. So it does say a lot about him. So, and he actually said, I thought he was taking the piss, but he said, "Eds, I was telling him when I heard you were coming, I told him what a fucking player he was." And I swear to God, I waited for the punchline. I was like, really? No, seriously. Yeah, he said you just...
You've joked about it a few times now, but did you actually think you were that decent?
Nah, I did. I did. There was times, it was almost an imposter syndrome where you think, fuck, no, I shouldn't be at Newcastle, I shouldn't be doing this, but... You've got to believe, right? You've got to believe you're good enough. And I think I did. I don't think I was a center half. And I still say this to the day. I think I was a center midfielder. I just think I was... When I came over as a center midfielder. But I think the game just passed me by because it was so quick here. And I wasn't quite up to the standard. Eventually, Newcastle just went, like, fuck off back to center half. And I didn't see the game. I could see everything. So and it's just stuck.
But did Eddie Howe put you back in midfield?
He did. He played me in midfield... quite a bit.
Yeah.
So it's, to be fair, sort of dicey a few times. Yeah.
Do you think if you had a run when you were younger, just getting used to it, that might have been you?
I think so. I didn't necessarily have the pace, but it was maybe in a defensive midfield position or whatnot. But
any stories on Keith?
Well, I know Keith. Listen, Keith had a rough go of it, but he was a great water footballer. I got Keith's move to Burnley by being shit against Preston. But yeah, he absolutely tore me a new one at Burnley at home. And then he got his move to, I think Eddie Howe bought him after that. But Keith was a funny one. I mean, my mate would pick me, I think we played Fleetwood away. And you know when you're buzzing after, you've played well, you know you're going out that night, and you know that feeling. And I remember seeing a Keith in the back of the car going, are you not excited? And he just went, nah, he just didn't love the game. He just didn't, at that point, he was, just didn't love it. I loved the feeling of playing and playing well, and maybe that's because I didn't fucking play a lot, but he just didn't have it at the time, and you could see it. He meant it. He wasn't just saying, you know, some players that I can't be bothered to, like, he really couldn't be bothered, and he had all the ability in the world.
Do you like Dyche?
Loved him.
He spoke well.
Loved him. Yeah. Well, look what he did, and I remember those times. Keith would have his rain jacket on. Dyche would say, "Come on!" Like they would go. They would run around Burnley. I don't know any manager that would do that for someone, even just to squeeze that last little bit of out of him if he could. And if he didn't, at least he was still trying to help him, right?
Going back to what you said about Allardyce, getting to know him as a person, away from football, just 100%. Helping him.
Yeah, yeah. And he tried. And you know, at times he would do that with anyone, though. He'd do that. He did that with Trips. He would just ask, first and foremost, are you okay as a person? So
yeah,
I think that's, for me, that's management, really.
Yeah, definitely.
Did they not offer you a contract then, the end of that season?
Burnley? Nah, so that was...
You in and out with Dyche?
Yeah, in and out, but like, with Dyche, with Dyche, we were flying. There was no in, it was, you played a role. Like, he played, I think it was a stat, he played the same consecutive starting 11 for X amount of games, and we were flying, so...
If you're in, you're in.
You're in, you're in, and then you come on, you do a fucking role. If you don't, you're not getting back in.
Yeah.
So... Whether that was right back, left back, center half, center midfield with him, I'd be like, roll. It was the best season ever, man. It was promotion. Like, you're flying, the town's buzzing, it's good. You're going out on a Tuesday after training, it's everything's going well.
So, were you disappointed not to be offered another contract at Burnley?
So, Burnley was a tough one because, again, we talk about being established. Whether I played 22 games, you felt part of something, you felt part of a club, part of a team. And it was a group of lads that I absolutely loved. But if I saw it come, I think looking back now, you can kind of see the signs of the last couple of games of that season. And I kind of held on hope that I would get one. Possibly, I think if we didn't get promoted, I might have got one.
Yeah.
But I think when Dyche pulled me in, it was more of a,
listen, Ed, you're too good of a player not to be playing week in, week out, and I can't guarantee you that in the Prem. So it's one of them. And
if they've let it run to a couple of games to go or whatever, you have to see it coming.
But I was naive to these things. I was naive to how football, because I'd always had a contract. Right? I'd always, it would be like, okay, I got another one under Eddie Howe at Burnley. So it's just, it kind of sorted itself out. And this was the first time I was like, fuck, what do I do now?
Mm. So was it a case at that point then of speaking to your agent at the time and we've got to find someone?
Yeah, and it was kind of like panic button. The whole thing was just wild. Like we talk about, I literally walked out of Burnley in tears with a bin bag over. My mates come and pick me up down the lane at Burnley training ground, and that was it. Like it's like, what do I do now? And I mean, we went to the pub, and then that was it. It was like a summer of it was just a debacle because we went promotion party the next day, so we went end of the season party, like award ceremony, release the next day. All there with trips straight to the airport to Marbella for promotion party. And then the lads met me out there for my bachelor party. So I had another 3 days. So it was I was like Jordan Belfort getting off the plane in Switzerland by the end of it. And then I had to fly back to Canada and get married in Jamaica. So it was like there, and I had a 1-year-old and I had no club. I'm at the resort in Jamaica texting my agent, trying to figure something out. And I think like I ended up at Birmingham, and I mean, big club and everything, but had I been, I don't know, more guidance or kind of pressed the pause button a little bit, waited it out, I think I just hit the panic button a little bit.
So were you actually nervous, like thinking, I've not got a club, or were you?
Yeah, I was. And you think, I mean, my stock should have never been higher through my career, really. Like 22 games in a promotion winning season. And I thought more teams would be in for me, and they could have been.
And I feel, was Birmingham a bit of a circus then as well?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the owner was in jail in another country, and
negotiations on the phone for glass.
I had an offer from Millwall. There was a few things percolating, but like Birmingham came up and Lee Clark was a manager, and it wasn't too far from where I was living in Manchester, the missus and the little one, and we made our way down and fucking lived in the village in Solihull for a little bit. And I think my problem at Birmingham was I didn't really buy into it straight away because I wanted to be at Burnley still.
Yeah.
Right? So I hadn't really let it go yet. So that was part of the problem. But I mean, I got player of the month the first two months, and then Clarkie got sacked. So another manager gone.
Was it good for you, Lee Clark? Obviously, yeah. Then few months.
Brilliant. I loved him. Lee Clark, Steve Watson, Alan Thompson, that was a staff. So it was three lads who I knew from, like, they were Geordie legends, right? So, I mean, it was funny when Clarkie got sacked, I'd give it a day or two before, you know, you ring him and stuff. And I rang him, he went, fucking hell, I was waiting for this. This is the cunt who got me sacked. Because I lost Matty Mills on the back post in the corner and we got beat up 1-0 at Bolton at home. And he got sacked after it. And he was fucking hell.
He was in the pub.
Shouldn't laugh. You know exactly how he said it.
She could have given it away.
He was hilarious, man.
Was he still taking Terry Mack with him?
Terry was there the year before at Birmingham. Because remember, they stayed up last day of the season, Paul Carter scored. Then Terry Mack left, I think, and then I signed.
Did you have him at Newcastle?
I had Terry Mack at Newcastle, yeah. He was legend. Just had his phone like that, putting bets on. Just had the horses, hands in his pockets, just walking around, talking to each other, talking to the lads. It was brilliant. Just a buffer.
What was exactly the crap with the appearance or win bonus or something?
Oh, so it was one of my appearances at Newcastle. Spurs away. We were winning 4-1, I believe. I think it was the game that Obafemi scored an absolute worldie.
Remember it?
And it was coming close to Christmas, and I was on a good win bonus at the time. I wasn't on much of a wage, but the win bonus in the first team was crazy. So I'm calling Terry Mack. He was up on the bench. He was like, Terry, I was like, fucking any chance of an appearance? And I swear to God, he walked up to Kevin Keegan on the touchline, and they had a little word, and he looked back. And Kevin Keegan looked back, he went, can you play right wing? I went, fucking play anywhere. And he needs to put tip on. Like, Terry Mack went, £500. I went, okay, Terry. I never.
So you don't
him.
Mind that?
No, fuck no.
Was that the win bonus?
Get to play at White Hart Lane. No, that's what Terry wanted. The win bonus was much more.
Yeah,
Terry said £500 for him.
What was the win bonus?
It was like 3.5 grand or something. And plus brilliant, the appearance, man. Plus, I was like, yeah, fucking £500.
That's a good deal, isn't it?
You should have to get it after 10. I think I just 750 big.
Honestly, he was a legend. Man. So yeah, you look at the appearances now and people look, I think it was 25 in the Prem for Newcastle, and that's one of them.
Were you in and out again at Birmingham after?
Well, so Rowett came in after. Yeah. And just, no, again, this is a good one. So Clarkie gets sacked. I think it was Neil, was it Crosby? Malcolm Crosby was the manager for one game. Bournemouth away, Eddie Howe's Bournemouth. Within 8.5 minutes, I'd given a goal away and been sent off. Callum Wilson had running behind, I dragged him down 8.5 minutes. And in fact, we don't have a manager. I'm like, ah. So I've got changed and my mates are there. A couple lads up from London, one from Liverpool. And they're in the pub at this point. They've gone, well, Jesus, we're not sticking around to watch this. It finished 8-0, I think. 8-0, and I'm just, every goal, I'm sat in the director's box. Like, fuck, you know. And I get into the car after that, and I swear to God, one of my mates just, kind of Foster's putting, just saying, just, because it was silent. I'm like, Jesus, lads, I can't go out. We can't. We went out. And I think it was like someone like, I believe it was Nathan Redmond's dad, who was a diehard Birmingham City fan, saw us. There was a couple lads. It wasn't just me out, but I went out with my mates. It was a couple lads, and that was it. He was like, you cannot be out. And that was it. They found out. I had a couple the next day as well.
Did you get dragged in?
Yeah, they weren't very happy. We had no manager, right? So then I'm...
Might as well go out then.
And you were suspended.
And I was suspended.
Yeah. And it were only 1-0 when you got sent off.
I mean, I gave it away, but
them useless bastards, weren't they?
But imagine the audacity just walking in after going, lads, it was 1-0 when I left.
It wasn't my fault.
After seven.
I think Malcolm Crosby turned to me and went, and you, I'm not going to get the job now. I'm like, well, I didn't think you were getting it anyway, Malcolm. But
maybe let's be honest.
Maybe you're a bit over-ambitious. It's Malcolm. Yeah. Over-ambitious.
But so that was that, but I was suspended when Rowett came in. So that's Rowett's first game. So he goes, well, he went and signed Michael Morrison, who was unbelievable against Wolves away, and I never played again. So back out on loan and went to Huddersfield for the end of the season. Yeah, so that was that. Spent the 6 months at Huddersfield with Chris Powell, which was good. I enjoyed it. Great manager, great guy, really good guy. I didn't even go back to Birmingham. I didn't even think I stepped foot back in there. I went to Sheffield United after that for a season.
On loan again.
Yeah. Still under contract at Birmingham, but I had 2 years at Birmingham. But I called Rowett and he was sound with me. You know what? And he was one of the guys who would just, one of the managers that would tell you straight. It's not like beating around the beach. Like, no, it's just not, you don't fit. No problem. Can I go?
Go on loan?
Yeah. Perfect.
Because, no, I mean, numerous stories about managers just
bullshitting
you, not letting you go out on loan, just leaving. But he's just like, go and play football.
100%. And he was sound about it. So, I was in dialogue with him like back in the preseason because I think I had the Gold Cup that summer for Canada. So I came in late, went back to Birmingham and I just said, and Sheffield United popped up and wanted to go. League One, massive club.
You missed preseason, but you were fit from the Gold Cup.
So that happened every 2 years for us.
Just talking about that, you know, because when did you get your first cap? Were you at Burnley?
Right. I'm not sure. So I think I got my first cap and then I didn't get called up for a little bit. And then I was up early, yeah. So first cap was Greece.
Because do you think that affected your selection at club level, nipping off playing for Canada?
Sometimes, I think. Because sometimes, from here you're going to like, it's not bad, but you're going to St. Lucia and St. Kitts and you're playing, you're winning 6-7-0 on a cricket field, but then you're back on a Wednesday, Thursday, trying to play on
manager
a Saturday.
Manager thinking you need a rest.
Exactly. So you're saying, no, you're popping sleeping pills to get some rest. Your body clock's all over and you play Saturday and you've got to play well, right? Or the excuses aren't there. Yeah. So, but yeah. But I would never, it's playing for Canada, playing for international. So
how many cups did you get?
42, I believe. Wanted to get to at least 50, but.
What was the stat? Because they've obviously kicked on, haven't they? Yeah. What was it like when you were playing?
It wasn't, there was some good players, but there's some bad players. Like there was a few unattached FC where they just didn't have clubs, but you had players playing international who didn't actually have a club, which was crazy. There was no Alfonso, there was no Tejan Buchanan, there was no players at big clubs. Apart from me, It wasn't huge then. There was no infrastructure in Canada at the time.
What were your thoughts going on international duty? Were you thinking, I get home or I go to St. Lucia or St. Kitts and we have a bit of a jolly up and I get a cap? Or were you like frustrated thinking, I'm going over there and it's going to be a fucking shower of shit?
No, I loved it. I loved it. Yeah. Whether it was a shower of shit or not, I still loved it. A lot of time too, we would play if it was World Cup qualifiers, because we started like way early in the rounds, but we'd always have a game in Toronto. So I'd be home. Yeah. So it was a free trip home as well. My family would get to see me, things like that. So it was good. I get a couple of days there. So
and you're representing your country as
exactly,
well.
Exactly. So you never turn it down. And I did. I really enjoyed it. It was, for me, I was really passionate about playing for Canada.
I mean, I can just see you in training, going, picking the ball up and saying, right, until that fucking bartender there is fucked off, this journey is not fucking starting. It is shit. We've got him there, bear. What the, well, go on.
You trying to think of a Canadian?
I'm going
to
go bear trainer. But it's probably not a job.
Lumberjack.
You're the bear trainer.
Bear training.
I was thinking of something Canadian, like, you know, bears.
Oh, yeah. Renowned for it. Training birds. Circuses. World renowned. You get them all in. You need to get a Canadian in here, train that bear.
He just breeds Newfoundlands, that fucker. I'm trying to think of something Canadian, like, bear just came into my head.
What was the, who was the biggest names you played for internationally? Played with, against, sorry.
We had a good one against Colombia. At Red Bulls Arena in New Jersey. That was good, because that was just full of Colombians. There's no Canadians there, but Rodriguez played, Falcao. It was a good, it was after the World Cup when Rodriguez scored that banger. So it was, that was good. Games against the US were good.
To be fair, you're always pissing in the wind, aren't you? And your dad just as I played Pele.
Pele, yeah. I played with Matty Patterson.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you had that spell at Sheffield United, was your contract up at Birmingham then?
I was on a year-long loan. So I did Sheffield United and then that was it at Birmingham. So I'm in 2 years.
Were you thinking, right, I'll give the MLS a go? Or were you thinking maybe I could find something else?
Well, no, it's another, I mean, not so funny story, but like, yeah, it wasn't a great season at Sheffield United. Personally, I had a good season and I loved it. I think it was a massive club. I love playing the football and I enjoy playing with under Nigel Atkins. So the season had finished. I was going away on my holidays. Literally, I had a meeting with Atkins. He said, I want to keep you. We'll go look to get something done. No problem. Get in the car, drive to Manchester Airport, fly to Tenerife with my wife and daughter. I land, turn my phone off. Nigel Atkins been sacked. Turn my phone on. Nigel Atkins been sacked. Within 1 hour, my agent's got a hold of Wilder, wants nothing to do with me. Mm. And that's it. That's it, right? So that's your summer. So I'm back to 2 years ago thinking, the fuck do I do now?
Have you still got a year left at Birmingham?
No, so I'm up. Free. I'm up, right? So I'm free.
But you're hoping to stay on at Sheffield United.
I was hoping to
stay on.
Yeah, that was the point. So he'd offered, it wasn't obviously anything. He just said, yeah, we'll get something sorted. So you go away thinking, no problem. And then that happens. So then you start looking, and at that point, I'm 28. And the MLS had been sniffing around. Carl Robinson was the manager of Vancouver.
Yeah,
Marabo,
Marabo.
Yeah, great lad. So he'd been in touch. And I'd always wanted to go back, go full circle type thing. And I didn't want to miss the opportunity because they were talking about players not coming back. And in hindsight, I probably pulled the trigger on that a little bit too soon. And then obviously what happened after that. So
I thought, going back to Sheffield, I thought when Atkins got that job that he was going to be the man to sort them out.
Yeah.
Why didn't it work?
You know what happened? I think we played four at the back for the longest time and things weren't working. It was me and Neil Collins. Maybe that's why it wasn't working.
He fucking shit the ginger pelly, isn't it?
But then we changed to a back three and we absolutely started popping teams, but it was too late. And then we didn't win a couple at the end of the season. We just missed out in the playoffs. But we had Paul Coutts, Chris Basham. Remember, do you play Jay McEvely?
Yes.
Mack, yeah.
I bet he took you up Jose Baxter a couple of times.
Yeah, so Billy Sharp was scoring goals for fun. And it was, I mean, we should have won the league. Simple, but just one of those things. And but I wanted to stay, and I would have, I 100% would have enjoyed it there. It was a great club. Great club.
That's our fucking
football, man.
That's our like sliding doors. It is.
Mm-hmm.
You got on your thing. You got on your plane. You're thinking, right, I'm gonna get sorted out at Sheffield United.
Yeah.
You land. You get in Lineker's in Tenerife, and it's all fucking gone tits up.
Usually does in Lineker's.
What happened in Vancouver?
So the seasons are obviously a little bit offset. So when it was their summer transfer window, so they'd already had half the season. And in Vancouver, it's the most beautiful place in the world in the summer, right? So they always have a little bit of a slump because the Latins love the beach, right? And
is it warm enough to sunbathe?
Oh, it's beautiful out there. It's beautiful. Yeah, yeah. Right on the beach. Like you're right in the ocean, right? Pacific Ocean's there and it's proper. Like it's beautiful out there. But so I've played 9 games and it was different. A lot more like it's a completely different game. It's way more athletic. Well, to what I was playing at the time. And it was just a bit of a rude awakening. It took me 9, 10 games, finished the season. I came back here, funny enough, and was like kind of just looking around. I went to Barry, and I think there was something there for me at Barry. Remember when Barry was paying good money at the time?
Oh, he does.
Right, and there was something there. So I get on the plane, go home, and I went on a golf trip to Scottsdale, Arizona, for my mates. It was like a little bachelor party. There's 3 of us. And the first night I got hit by a car.
Got what?
I got hit by a car. So like in a hit and run. So I was in Old Town Scottsdale. They have golf carts that drive you as taxis. So it's like an airport one. So 2, 2, and 2 facing backwards. And I was on the right-hand side one. And he's taking a left-hand turn. And you're on the road, right? You're on an oncoming traffic. So people think, oh, I got hit. I was in a golf cart or I was pissed or whatever. We were just driving to dinner. And I remember he took a left and I fell out the car into oncoming traffic. And I'd done like a bit of an army roll to stay on my feet and fucking looked up and the headlights were coming from my head. So I've turned and I took the hit in the side and it's just, my knee just turned into spaghetti. But lucky I got, so he hit me and then pulled up next to me and then took off. So I got off the road because I think more cars were coming to get to safety. And, I just remember my mates were there. I got to them and I got to my pal who they were footballers and he was like, you okay? I was like looking around, I'm like, okay, I'm not bleeding. And then I went to step down and just my whole leg just went like that. So that was it. I just looked at him, I went, it's done. I knew it.
So have you come out of the golf cart?
Yeah. So he's turned left. I'm on the right hand side and I've gone out this. So I've gone to grab the handle and just, you know, when you stumble out, but you're going at pace.
Yeah.
So I've gone to like an army roll. It was a good roll. Then I've gone, as I've looked up, I just thought, I've got to do something here. I've jumped in and turned into it and protected my head. And yeah. I've gone back, I've landed on the ground, like on the cement and just completely ripped my back open. But the damage was to the knee and the hip.
And he's pulled up, taken a look at you and just drove off.
Yeah, still never found him to this day. Still ongoing.
It's like a sort of film, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So... It's been a tough one. So it wasn't, I mean, I'd never been injured in my career. I up until that point, I think I had a hernia, whichever, and those are.
And were you standard. Contracted with Vancouver?
Contracted with Vancouver.
Right. So at least you got.
Yeah. So what happened then was, listen, the medical department there was unbelievable because the head guy there is now the head guy at the Golden State Warriors working with Steph Curry. And it was unbelievable. So they got me straight in, top surgeons, everything. Without that, I probably would never have kicked the ball again because it was double ligament, MCL, PCL, completely torn, meniscus ripped from the root. But where I was from in Canada, where I flew back to the next day, which was a fucking terrible flight home after getting hit by an SUV. But they had the top surgeons there. So that luckily I was at home. Yeah. So I had all the surgery done there. And then eventually they brought me back out to Vancouver and it was... you can have someone on injured reserve there where the league covers the salary, but it doesn't come off the salary. So I go off the salary cap. No one, I probably would have never, I didn't kick a ball that season, but they don't have to pay me. The league pays you. So I got paid and got looked after. And then I got shafted when I got fit. So I don't think they ever thought I was going to get fit again. And then I came back to preseason the following year. It was 18 months, I think, the injury. And that it just there was nothing there for me, and kind of bounced around after that.
So is the, you know, on this the league paying the wages, mm-hmm. is that for the entirety of your contract or the entirety of your injury?
It's contract.
Right.
So, but what happens in the MLS is you can get compensation. So, but the problem was mine wasn't on the field. So if you pull, say you roll your ankle and you're out for ligament six weeks, you put a claim in, you get 30 grand. Or you pull your hamstring, you might get 5 grand if you're out for a couple of weeks. So you get paid for being injured. So, but I got nothing because it happened off field.
Right.
So if you're getting on the field injury, you can claim against the league.
Yeah, you claim. Well, I don't even know. I couldn't tell you exactly who it's against, but you put a claim in and you get some decent dough from it. But I didn't have that. So mine's going through
I'm just
going
to phone Neil Collins.
There you go.
Insurance
scam going round. Yeah.
How's your knee now?
It's, you know, it's not too bad. I try not to do too much on it. So I ended up playing in the Canadian league after that a couple years. But it's tough. It's tough when it's cold out. That's for sure.
It's been a tough 18 months.
It was tough. It was tough. But you know what? Like, I gone all this time. So all these times back and forward, my wife and daughter are back in Canada, coming back, spending a couple weeks here, a couple weeks there. It's finally a time to just kind of like, you know, when it's go, go, go. I actually took a deep breath and kind of spent some time with my wife and kids in a beautiful, like beautiful area, went to the beach, stuff like that, and rehabbed. But shit, not playing. It was, yeah. They never actually told me that I wasn't supposed to play again. So I think that was a good thing because I kept going and kept working my way back and thinking, oh, I'm gonna play here. And then you just kind of drag it out, right?
By the way, as well, take football out of the equation. If you've done a roll out of a car, if you can't, do you ever look at it and think, I've been half lucky there?
Yeah.
If a car's traveling.
Mate, 100. Well, that's without sounding like, I don't want to be too dramatic about it. And guarantee, whether this is like blacking out or flashing before your eyes, all I thought to myself at that moment was protect your head. And that's all, like the headlights was, and I jumped him in like that. And I knew I was okay, but then I remember just going back. And then I blacked out, and it was like that. After that's adrenaline, because what happened to my knee, that I shouldn't have ran off the road. So 100% it has to be adrenaline.
Yeah.
Right. So get there, and then I'm in the hospital in Arizona, and all I can, because the police are saying, you got to go to the hospital. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not going to the hospital in the States. I know what this is like. It's going to cost me a fortune. I don't know. So much is going on. It cost a fortune. So we're dealing with that. And is, you know,
them deers have got no chance, have they?
No.
No, and then no, they're no art to jump. Yeah. Right, they'll pick off, but they to jump now.
They're not jumping as high as me. But
thankfully, all the birds are trained, aren't they? They just jump out of the air, so it's all right.
Yeah. So do you know you're overriding thoughts on your career and everything? Obviously, you went at 28, weren't it?
28, yeah.
28 back over there. Do you think it could have been so much better?
Yeah. I mean, that's it. Yeah, I do think so. But I don't look back on it like and sit and dwell on that. I look back and truly am like grateful for the opportunity to be here, because I know how many people around the world want to play football. I know how many people in Canada want to play football, and I got an opportunity to do it, right? So, fuck, I worked hard. I worked hard to do it. But yeah, I mean, a kid from Kitchener, Ontario should never play for Newcastle United and score against Manchester United on their debut, right? But it happened. So I think that's what I look to instead of the what ifs, right? Instead of the what ifs.
Yeah.
I mean, in the depths of it, when you're sat there with a knee brace on, you're thinking, I should have done this, I should have done that. And
but then it
makes you stronger.
But then when you think, I did do this, I did do that.
Yeah. You're proud. It's unbelievable. You're proud no matter what.
And you never got to see Burnley, would you?
Oh, Turf Moor. It's legendary.
What are you up to now?
So when I retired from the Canadian Premier League, so the Canadian Premier League started, and it was kind of like a startup company with eight teams. But what happens is, because we had the World Cup, you have to have your own domestic league. And Canada's tried it before. When my dad was there, that's what they tried. But there was no real good infrastructure for it. Now there's big money in it. It's all the American football guys have thrown money into it, and it's proper. So FIFA has to make sure we have a league. So it's going to be here for a little while at the very least. And played 2 years, won the champ. I mean, you go all this time, I've got no knee, and I win my first trophy at 31, 32. And then we win the second year. But as I said before, that was in COVID. So it was like a bubble tournament. And at that point, I'm 32 playing with a bunch of young kids. And the league's supposed to be for young kids coming through. So I made the decision to retire. And lucky enough, I moved on the coaching staff there. So I'm one of the assistants at the team I retired from in Canada. So it's that. And I've got my own coaching company, which we're here in England with a couple players, just training a few clubs and stuff. So it's good.
Do you think after the World Cup, obviously it's going to be 4 years, near enough, isn't it? 3.5 years. Do you think it'll kick on Canadian football?
100%. Yeah, it's like it's bubbling up. It's just waiting for the right thing to happen. Obviously, the league and the players that we've got now, like the Alfonsos and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think it after the World Cup, it'll definitely kick on. I think our league will probably get to about 10 or 12 teams. You can only have so many, right, because of the travel.
Yeah.
But other than that, we're not trying to replicate what the MLS is doing. We're not trying to do that. Like, you've already got teams bought in. Like, Atletico Madrid owns a team in the league, right? So they bought a team. So they're looking at, like, Bayern Munich's interested in owning a team. Red Bull, right? Those are the types of things. Because why wouldn't you buy a team for, I don't know, 10, 15 million instead of an MLS franchise for 350, 400 million, right? And the Canadian league, I think you fairly certain you get the owner share the profits, like profit sharing. So it's an interesting dynamic there. And it's exciting to like learn my trade in coaching there. I'm working with a really good coach there and learning quite a bit. So
you're getting back seeing the boys every now and again?
Every so often, yeah. Saw Trips last week. Just keep in touch with the lads. It's good. It's tough being over there and the time change and whatnot, and everyone's got their own lives and kids, but it's been good.
If you could play one game again out of Man United at home or your Canada debut, what would you go for?
Yeah, Man United at home. Yeah, 100%. I think so. Captain in Canada was good. I did that in the World Cup, in the Gold Cup. So that was big for me. I enjoyed that. Always an honor. I don't think, there's no higher honor in sport. I think captain your country.
Mm. And again, excuse my ignorance, but the Gold Cup, is that like the Euros here?
It's like, I guess so. It's like CONCACAF nations, right? So you've got your US, Honduras, Costa Rica, those the teams that were representing and all in one tournament. And then the St. Lucia's and the teams like that. So it's like a summer tour across America. It's brilliant. You play in LA, Houston, all those places. So,
well, if you are going to get a job over here, could you just leave it until after the World Cup? Because we're hoping to stop at yours for the Canada games.
Toronto's got some games. You're more than welcome, lads. You're more than welcome. I love it.
Do you ever think about sticking the suit on for old time's sake? Get an espresso, sit in the old sandwich shop. Get the boys back together.
That's what we've been doing all week. Back in Newcastle.
Yeah, we did that this morning.
Yeah. You have a good trip. Well,
I can't believe you told that story, man.
I had a coffee, just drinking coffee.
Oh, all time's sake. Yeah. No, it was good. It was good.
They are brilliant, man.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming on.
Good to see you, man. To see us.
Top, man.
Thank you. That's
brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.